Well, it's actually not on the sheets. Just looking at the beginning of the parasha. So the parasha is called Pikudei because it starts with the Pikudei, as usual. It's an interesting pasuk. Elu fukdei mishkan mishkan amidus esher pukad al pi Moshe avodas halavim biyadi samar ben Aaron haKohen. Now avodas halavim is referring to the responsibilities of levim to deal with the different parts of the mishkan as you take them apart. Now that's really not the topic of what we're dealing with right now. We're really basically dealing with we're making this an accounting of all of the different parts of the Mishkan which were built and they were done properly, and that we're giving some accounting of the materials used in that process. And that's the point of the pasuk. So Avodas Halevim Biyadi Samar Ben Aaron HaKohen seems to be totally out of place. And the next pasuk goes back to Bezalel, but Uri built the Mishkan, and Eliyahu helped him. And here is the items which are used. This is what you built with them, etc., etc., etc. Like, now that's true that in the beginning of Parshas, in Parshas Bamidbar, we're going to go through this whole process of how you divide up the responsibilities of the different parts of the Mishkan between the different families of the Levim. But why is it stuck in over here? Like, it's like. That's one point that which I found fascinating in the pasuk, and the word pikudim for counting is not only the we refer to chumash b'midbar as chumash pikudim. It's the chumash of the counting. Because we have the count of Klai Yisrael at the beginning, the census at the beginning, and the census later on in Parshas Pinchas, but it doesn't use the word Pekida over there. So, using the Lashon of Pekida over here is an interesting Lashon. So, I was considering the following. I think I shared with you once a piece from based on Rav Hirsch about Pekadati. Oh, right? Yeah. Right?
So like the key words when Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be accepted.
Right. So we said over there that the Rabban asks a question and says, Moshe Rabbeinu comes, Moshe says, listen, you're going to come to Christ, you're going to say, Pekadati, and they're going to say, wow, you're it. Yeah. How do we know? Because you use the magic formula, the secret formula, which was known to all of Klai Yisrael. So it's a very bad secret formula. Right? That's like most secrets which you know you have in Klai Yisrael. Right? Because we find that Yaakov and Yosef both use the language of double pekida in regards to Klal Yisrael being niga. So Rashi says, when you call me, because they know that's the right words. So Rabban says, like, how does that work? So Rabban says, you know, that Klal Yisrael knew all of the words, but Moshe Rabbeinu, who was raised in the house of Paro, did not know those words. So Moshe Rabbeinu punked if Moshe Rabbeinu was the one person in Klal Yisrael which this formula would work as a proof. Huh. Where do you come? How do you think of it? So that's what Rabban says. So, but it's interesting that the nevuah that they were told, like, I mean, had a very fascinating way that it worked. It's the right words only for one person in Klal Yisrael, as opposed to these are the right words no matter who says it. The Ben Yoyada says a similar idea. He says that Moshe Rabbeinu was a kvad pet, kvad loshon, and he was a stutterer. And he had difficulty enunciating different letters. So in general, those people have difficulty enunciating letters which use the lips. So pei needs to use the lips. So Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't pronounce a pei. So they already knew that. They said, Pinchas, he couldn't pronounce it. But all of a sudden he says, Pekoit Pekadati, it must be a divine statement. That's what Ben Yoda says. But Rav Hirsch says something else totally different. I mean, this is what we suggested based on Rav Hirsch. So Rav Hirsch says that the language, when he's talking about the original Nevuah that Yosef says that there's Lashon of Pekida, Klaus is going to be redeemed with the language of Pekida. He says that the word Pekida means being appointed for a function. Like you find, Rifkeh and Melch Pekidim, the Melch appointed, you appoint somebody. So Pekida is not just the idea of it's the idea of being redeemed, it's being redeemed with a purpose. And you see the language of Roshim talking to Moshe, the language was very much along the lines of, you're going to take Klaus assignment, go to Harsinai, get the Torah. It wasn't leaving, so I was getting the Torah. So come and tell me, Jews have been downtrodden, you know, I'm here to take you out of Egypt. He's not the right guy. Hmm. Because that's not what that wasn't the promise. The promise was, we'll take out Egypt and give you a purpose in life. Only Moshe Rabbeinu could offer that because he knew he could take them to the Har Sinai and give them the Torah. But if you come and use any other language, what you're saying is, hey, it's about emancipation and independence. They knew he was a charlatan. And only a true girl who actually had what to give them would be able to say that. So that was what we said. That's why Pekat Pekatati was. So I was thinking over here like this, and it's stretching it a little bit. You'll bear with me. It's a little homiletical, okay? You know, you're allowed a little bit of drush. There's a fascinating Meshech Chochma by Shmiras Halukas. He points out that Moshe Rabbeinu comes down and he broke the Lukas Leinayim in front of their eyes. Why did he stress the break in front of their eyes? What was the purpose of that? And why do you have to break the Lukas? I mean, he can't give the Lukas to them, Rashi says. Okay, why have to break them? You know, hold on to them till they do tshuva, and we'll give it to them. Like, what was the purpose of breaking? Why is it they're breaking the luchas? And Chazal say that, matter of fact, the Rishon gave him a yeshakayach that for breaking the luchas. Like, this is the first yeshakayach, that after an aliyah, right? You know, the Anat Harsina came down, came back from the aliyah, and you give him a yeshakayach, right? They stayed, right? Yeah. We got the yeshakayach for breaking the luchas, you know. So what's the point? So the Meshech Chochma says that Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid that the luchas would become an eagle. The luchas were the extraordinary holiness of the luchas. They were mamash, the ma'is elokim. So if Christ was bowing down to the eagle, they were sure bowed down to the luchas. The luchas would become their avodah zarah. So Moshe Rabbeinu broke the luchas in front of their face. The luchas are nothing other than the service of a kadosh baruch hu. And if you're not kadosh baruch hu, they don't have a kedusha in them. It's not they or something which are extraordinary on their own. They're a vehicle for service. And when right now you're not serving, they're not a vehicle, they can be broken. So he graphically, in front of their eyes, broke this idea that the item is what it's about. Mm-hmm. The item is a vehicle for something greater. So that was what Meshech Chochma says. I think maybe that's what's happening over here also. The Mishkan potentially has this danger as well. I mean, how many times do we know the idea that you make the edifice, and that becomes the focus? But that's not really the focus. That's just the vehicle for something afterwards. So the Mishkan is a pekida. The Mishkan is given a purpose. It's not the purpose itself. It is a vehicle for something else. So we immediately mention there's going to be avodah done in the Mishkan. The why avodah levim? That's why it's homiletical. If it was just avodah, we'd be like, wow, that'd be a home run. So this is maybe a single. It's not a home run. Okay, but.
So I think you can say the Levim are the ones who took it apart and put it down, which shows you it's not this permanent edifice. It's not this.
Okay, could be. Okay, yeah. Good point. So I think that this. Yeah. So as we're coming to this final, accounting, etc., which is the Torah describes this. This is, remember that immediately we're going to go into the discussion of bringing the Kabbonis there, the mitzvahs. It's not about the edifice itself. That's what was one thought that I had. Okay, let's take a look at the sheets. So the first one, page 704.
This one, please.
Only because we like you. Okay.
708, there's another page?
Yeah, there's 704, 705. You got this.
I got this.
This is my original sheets that I worked on and made copies from. Okay, sorry about that. Okay, so looking at page 704 on the Pasuk Mem Gimel. Vayar Moshe es kol melacha v'hinei osu oso kasher tzivu Hashem ken osu. Vayivarech oso Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu saw all of the melacha that they had done. V'hinei osu oso kasher tzivu Hashem ken osu. So Rav Hirsch says a fascinating thought over here. Let's read the thought. Moshe looked at the whole completed work, and lo, that'd be like the whole for us, on the work, two things were imprinted. Osu oiso, they may had made it. So he takes the pasuk and stresses, osu, they made it. Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the Mishkan and saw Klal Yisrael's contribution. He saw them in it. They made it. Right, you normally understand that the stress of the pasuk is they made it, and the main point is the it. Rav Hirsch is stressing the they. Moshe Rabbeinu looked at the Mishkan and he saw them. He saw Klal Yisrael in it. In every part, in the smallest and the greatest, the whole personality, the devotion, the voluntary enthusiasm, and the power of knowledge of the nation was expressed. Right? So that's one thing. And then he saw in the same moment the exact opposite. Kasher Tziva Hashem as Kenosu. And secondly, Kasher Tziva Hashem, as God had commanded, exactly so had they made it. This whole energetic zeal and enthusiasm had nevertheless, in part and in whole, restricted itself meticulously to the divine command. Nowhere could be detected any effort by adding or leaving out to carry out any idea of improvement, to leave some impression of the artist's own personality on the work. Each and every workman accepted as his highest aim the careful and precise carrying out, not of his own ideas, but the ideas and thoughts which were embodied in the commands of God. So, this is almost like polar opposites. To some extent, you know, let's start from the second point first. He saw you had people which were just perfectly carrying out the command. So you don't see any other personality in it. Right? You know, the artist makes the mural and he leaves his little signature at the bottom. You know, there's no little bays at the bottom of the cross. You know, bays and olive for Betzalel and all the other, you know, right? They didn't put a bays olive for the bottom, right? And right, it was perfectly just exactly as Hashem said. None of their own personality is there. At the same time, we saw all of their personality in it. You can look at it and see, you can see Klal Yisrael in it. You can see all of their devotion, excitement, interest, and he said the word personality. You saw them being expressed in it. So I think it's an extraordinary two sides of the coin that you have over here. That you can see me expressing who I am, my strengths, my abilities, my nature, my attitudes, giving that over in a way which was all clearly just a way to give back to Kodesh Baruch Hu what exactly what he asked me to do. I try to think of an analogy for this idea. You know, like if anything comes, I haven't thought of a good muscle of it to it. I'm grappling with that, see if I can come up with something which would concretize in people's minds such an idea. You know, you have such a because usually we see the idea of exactitude and meticulous exactitude to details given to me means I'm taking myself out of the picture. And here it's the exact opposite. Christ was injecting himself into the picture. In other words, all Yoav's tremendous abilities, you could see them. At the same time, you could see that all it was Rosham's command. So I had an idea. There's a word for Moshe in Parshas Kisiso, and again in Parshas Vayakov, when it talks about Bezalel. So when Bezalel is introduced to us, the language of the pasuk is Re'u Kar Hashem B'Shem. Right? Re'i Karasi B'Shem is the way it's introduced in Parshas Kisiso. Rosh tells Moshe, let's see the Rosh Hashem Pasuk. Re'i Karasi B'Shem, the Rosh tells Moshe, behold, I have Karasi B'Shem. Now, the language Karasi B'Shem is Lashon Avar. Right? So Karasi B'Shem means that the Bereshit has designated him. The Bereshit says, I have already designated him. So what does it mean, I have already designated him? And the same thing next in Parshas Vayakel, which says the question, Re'u Kar Hashem B'Shem. Behold, the Bereshit called them my name. Now that could be referring to what I just was told before. The Bereshit was talking to Moshe about Bezalel the first time and saying, I called him already. So if Hirsch says this idea, and Moshe says the same idea, that Bezalel was an extraordinary, he had extraordinary abilities. He had aptitude. The Moshe says, obviously I gave that to him for a purpose.
It was his calling.
That was his calling. Right? So we use the word in English. This is a person's calling. So if I look at myself and I see my abilities, I have to understand that means the Moshe was talking to me that I have a mission to use those abilities. So that's something which is given to me already beforehand. So the abilities which I have, which I am able to express into the Mishkan, which seem to be, oh, it's my own personality, if I see them as my divine mission in life, that I was given these abilities to use them, so you see that Kasher Tziva Hashem is Moshe, the Kasher Tziva Hashem and my personality at the same time, because those two things are actually two sides of the same coin. That's what I wanted to suggest in the second point. The third one is like a it's a fascinating idea that our first suggests over here on page 708, and he writes it as a suggestion, which is like interesting. The Mishkan was erected, so we say that the inauguration of the priest was 7 days. And the Sefer says that there were 7 days here to Moshe erected the Mishkan, anointed it, and take it down again before erected on this first day of the first Nisan as permanently consecrated. Hence, Hukam HaMishkan, the erection of the first Nisan, was the final, definite, permanent consecration. Was this also perhaps a significant hint? So the Mishkan was put up for 7 days, taken down, then put up for the 8th day, and it remains. Maybe there's the following hint over here. He says maybe. Okay, that it was going to be destined to be erected 7 times, 7 times either taken down or changed its home or be destroyed before we finally come to the permanent everlasting home of the glory of God on earth. So we only dared to put forward the next paragraph, next sentence, 3 lines down. We only dared to put this forward as a question and point out that the Bamidbar, Gilgal, Shiloh, Noiv, Givon, Bais Rishon, Bais Sheni, there were 7 places that the Hashem's house stood. Ooh, to actually represent us with the sort of 7 such incidents happening to the house where it was put up and it was taken down. 7 erections followed by Churban until the advent of the Bachar Yamim, for which we are all waiting, when the 8th building will be erected, of which it is promised, Nochon Yebar Har Beis Hashem Barosh HaHorim, it's going to be firmly established. Right? That's what he suggests. It's like, yeah, he says maybe. He's like, I'm not just presenting this. He says, I'm just presenting this as a possibility. It's an extraordinary thought that in the original building of the Mishkan, there had to be 7 erections and 7 taking it down. You have to understand that building, the process of building, sometimes you'll build and it will fall. You build and it will fall. You build and it will fall.
And then Shevapam Yipol Tzadivakam.
Shevapam, yes. Nice.
What's that mean?
Right, the person falls 7 times and gets back in.
So there, I once said on this pasuk, "Shem Yisrael Bekom." So let's understand the pasuk. This pasuk of Mishlei, it says, "A righteous man will fall 7 times and get up." So let's see the scenario, right? You know, you're something you know from the shul, you know, minimally, etc. You're driving some, you have a business meeting in some strange neighborhood. You drive by and you see this fellow, you know, walking into a non-kosher restaurant and sitting down to eat something. So, I don't know, this time maybe he has an ulcer and he has a, it's life-threatening, he has to eat something. You could find some way to explain it away, to exonerate him, etc. A few months later, you see it, you happen to meet him somewhere else, and the same thing happens again. Once, twice, by the 5th time, what label are you going to put on the guy? Not tzaddik. Right?
Hungry.
Hungry is a nice label. It's a nice label, right? So the pasuk says, Shemel Yipol Tzaddik. So why is he a tzaddik? Because tzaddik is not that you don't fall. Tzaddik is that you get up. Because what do most people do after 7 times falling down? They lay down. Right, so the pasuk says, "Shall be tzaddik." Vikom, if you get up again, that's a right. You're a tzaddik. We all have ups and downs. We all have we have fights and we lose them. But if we dust ourselves off and try again, whether it's 7 or 700, whatever it is, that's the definition of tzaddikus. But it's more than that. The pasuk, there's different pasuk. The pasuk says, "Kinafalti kamti." Yeshavti b'cheshek Hashem orli. So the Medrash says, ilo lo nafalti lo kamti, v'ilo lo yeshavti b'cheshek lo Hashem orli. Had I not fallen, I would not get up. And had I not been in darkness, Hashem would not have been an or for me. The process of overcoming the fall is what makes us great. So the in the original erection of the mikdash, of the Mishkan, which parallels the life of Klal Yisrael, we only come to who we're supposed to become because there are ups and there's downs. The downs are what give us the vehicle to have the challenges which we need to grow further and become what we're supposed to become. And we need the process of the ups and downs. So it's almost like Kadosh Baruch Hu is setting us up for quote-unquote failure, because the way human beings process things is not in a one-time shot. It's a process. And the process, if you expect the process to go just upper trajectory and that's it, you don't understand how human beings process things. We process things through making mistakes and through growing from them, and then making another mistake and growing from that. The Mor says that that truly understanding Torah only comes through actually tripping. You really get it when you don't get it, and then you really recognize where the problem is and how bad it is and how off you were, and then you can correct. The theorizing of what it is doesn't help you do that. So Meimi Merumas in the Mishkan, you know, is this idea of the Shabbat Bezadik Vekam. That was the
awesome.
So this is my Eish Divrei Torah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're gonna think I'm one of these real Eish rabbis. I'm speaking about electricity by Shul Shemis. Okay, you know. And then by Shabbos morning, we had the main shir. We talked about last week about the different relationships. That Mishkan is a mushal for relationships between man and God, between man and man, you know, man and woman also. That's the idea of a relationship. We spoke about this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
What?
The chocolates, right? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Don't give chocolates.
Last week.
Right. I'm going to use that one for Shabbos morning. I saw a Sfas Emes, which I need to really think through 100%. I didn't think it through 100% what to do with it yet. He talks about the parallel. He brings a medrash, but it might not be a medrash, it might be something else. That in the brush of building the Bria, so the brush built the Bria in steps, 7 days of Bereshis. And after each step, the Russian says, "Vayar l'kim is kolosha." Russian's "Vayar l'kim kitov." And then there is a final statement at the end, which says, "Vayar l'kolosha my moros is called swam." And the Russian says everything that "Vayar l'kim is kolosha also b'hinei tamoid." Vayar l'kim is mashishi. There's a final coming it all together, bring it all together. The by the mission, you have the same thing. I think it's a medrash. He quotes. You have, after each point, it says, Kashatimah Semes Moshe. And then at the end, it says the Pasuk that we saw before, Vayar Moshe is called Abalachah, Vinei Yasu, so Kashatimah Shem Kenosu. Vayar Lachim is called Shalosh, Vinei Toib Ma'id. Right? Vayar Moshe is called Abalachah, Vinei Yasu. He draws a parallel to this Pasuk, that this Pasuk is, in other words, each step was good in its own, and the whole thing was good. Each step in the Bria was good on its own, and altogether it was good. So the Sosemis brings that, and then the Sosemis takes it a step weiter. There's another matter. The matter says that the Yaakov Moshe. Moshe was able to put up the Mishkan, right? The beginning of later, the Moshe gives him the command to put it up. And Pasuk, whatever it is, Yodal, whatever it says, Moshe stood it up. So the matter says they weren't sure if Moshe could do it or not. And the Chai Yisrael said, Moshe didn't build anything. How can he be able to put it up? And the pasuk says, no, Moshe was able to put it up. That's like the conversation of the matter. So, I'm going to paraphrase what I saw in the Sfasem, is that there are two different processes of building something. Right? The attitude of the world towards managers, that we don't, people from the outside, hey, manager, like, what's the big, doesn't know anything. He just manages, right? A good manager is an extraordinary person. He's able to bring together all the different parts of the organization and give each one exactly what they need, make sure everything is functioning properly, etc. It's a tremendous skill. But to the unlearned, like, it doesn't seem to be really, it almost seems to be superfluous. Moshe Rabbeinu was the manager. He made all the different parts of each one of Kashrei Siva Hashem as Moshe. To be able to bring all the parts together and make it into one unified whole is a separate skill. And Klai Yisrael said, well, if he didn't build them, how can he bring it together? And the puzzle says, no, Moshe was able to bring it together. In my separatius, each step of my separatius is wholesome in its own. Vayar lakim kitoiv. But there's a separate act of creation of allowing multiple different things, which each one is wholesome in itself, but they're not harmonious together. Right? The harmony is a separate act of Vayar lakim is kol shalom samit dani tag ma'oin. And that is. There's a separate act of creation, as it were, to bring everything together. So that's the point. The Sfasem says that there's a
Shabbos Shabbat, in a sense.
Right,
that's
Yom HaShishi, the Shabbos. So Moshe Rabbeinu, it says over here, after each point was Moshe was able already to see as all the things brought to him, each one's kashrus was as Moshe, and together harmoniously you can bring all the parts together, etc. This is what Sfasem says that thought. I think it's definitely a good word to say by when you have a manager who's retiring or something like that. Am I wrong that there's a certain lack of respect for what in the general thought process of how much a manager brings to the table?
There
is, right?
Yeah. Generally, yeah.
What?
Generally, yeah.
Some of them actually deserve that. But a good manager, any good, good CEO of a company recognizes that good managers are an extraordinary thing.
But there aren't that many good ones, though.
That's the problem.
I think people don't recognize them. There aren't too many.
Right. But the ones which are, like, are really, they're gems. Like, you want to hold on to them because they really can just bring everything together in a harmonious way. And I'll give you an example where in the secular world, in our world, we have such a thing. It's a conductor of an orchestra. Like, what does he do? He just stands there like, what are you doing for? Just get him together. He's not making any music. Right? But why is it always like, it's, so-and-so and the Boston Symphony, so-and-so and, because it's always the conductor. Like, what's that with the conductor? He's the manager. Right?
Right. Yeah, together.
But because bringing all those very clearly disparate instruments together is an extraordinary act. Right? The Mitzudas says, the Lamatzeach, the phrase at the beginning of Capital Film, Lamatzeach, it's for the conductor. It says, why the conductor is called, why is it called a Menatzeach? Menatzeach means to win. He says, because a conductor has all these different sounds, and he chose at this moment to let that sound be the stronger sound. So he gave victory to that sound for that moment. And he gave victory to that sound for the moment. So he's the one who gives victory. He's the Menatzeach. He's the one who creates victory for the people. He is able to know when to bring out that sound, when to bring out that sound. That's the strength of a conductor. Reverse translate, it's referring to Hashem, to the one who gives victory, referring to Hashem. not referring to the conductor. But the Pashup Shat, the way the Mephoshim learned before, is referring to the this Talmud was giving a the capital was addressed to the one who was leading the music. And it was to be played with music. Okay, those are my thoughts. A little bit of a short shiere, but thank you for